Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the book of James, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In 1906, a man by the name of Lou Eppinger loved to go fishing, and he took a little spoon out of his kitchen drawer and cut the bottom off, and then took a hammer and beat it down and made it real thin and drilled a hole in it so that he could hook a line to it and attached some barb hooks. Became known as the Daredevil. You've probably seen them, little red and white lures, fishing lures. Just about every tackle box in the United States has one. Millions, maybe billions of them have been sold. There are at least 300 copies that have been made of them. Very effective way of catching fish. And he discovered that apparently by coloring it white and red and dragging it through the water, that little piece of metal, if it spun just enough, it would give the illusion to a fish that there was a minnow reflecting a little bit of light. And the fish then would apparently think that this is something good, latch onto it, bite into it, and ultimately get caught. The purpose of the lure and the barbs on the end of the lure are not to just harm the lip of the fish and to make the fish have a bad cut. The purpose is ultimately to remove it from the water and to put it into the boat where it can die and then have it be carved up and ultimately devoured. That's really the purpose of this daredevil. That's very aptly named when we think of this in a spiritual way. But the devil himself tempts us. It's quite a picture. When the devil tempts us to sin, his goal and his purpose is not just to get us to disobey God one time. Yeah, that's fine. He likes that. But his real purpose is to ensnare us, is to catch us in this sin so that we love it and we don't want to let it go, so that it can ultimately be used to pull us away from Christ, where we will spiritually die and ultimately be eternally devoured. This is his real purpose when it comes to tempting us into sin. And that's why the issue for Christians when it comes to disobeying God is not just the disobedience that we show toward God. We do all fall into sins on a daily basis, but the real issue is, what do I do with my sin? How do I handle it? How does my heart, how does my soul deal with my evil inside of me? Do I embrace it? Do I not want to let it go? Do I want to think that I can continue on in this and everything is going to be fine? When my sins no longer cause my conscience to feel kind of a prick of guilt and sensation of wrong, when that kind of dies away, that's the danger sign. That's the time when we need to really be on our guard and to be careful. The text in front of us talks about people who have wandered from the truth. They've gotten caught up in some particular sin that they've fallen in love with, and they don't want to let it go, and they don't want to repent of it. They don't want their hearts to push it aside through repentance. And the text says that ultimately this means the death of the soul. So this is very serious business. Believers in Christ, this is talking to. This isn't talking to the unbelieving world. This isn't talking to the people that are hanging out in the bars and this and that. This is talking about us, about people right here in the sanctuary of God, where sin can attach itself to us in such a way that it can pull us away from Christ and ultimately destroy our faith. And one of the great challenges that comes with this is when believers get convinced that, well, as long as I'm still going through the right motions, I can convince myself I'm still a believer in Christ as long as I'm still letting myself love and live in this particular evil. Listen to what St. Paul warned young Timothy, who's a pastor. He said, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and then this line, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And what he means by that is we get to the point with our sin where our consciences get seared, it doesn't trouble us anymore to sin. It doesn't really bother us and make us, there's no nerve system left when it comes to sensing the problem that we have before God. If you've ever gone fishing with a little child, it's challenging working with them with a hook and possibly with a daredevil like that, especially if you're ever doing some casting. I've had people in a boat with me that have hooked clothing and hair and sometimes even skin, sad to say. And when that happens, it certainly is nice to have someone else in the boat with you to release those barbs and to help free you from that hook. That's also what believers are to do, according to our text, when it comes to someone who's been caught up in a sin. As members of the flock of Christ's sheep, when we recognize and notice other believers in Christ who are struggling with a particular sin and have fallen into it, it is good and right for us to go talk to them. It is good and right for us to go to try to recover them and bring them back to the voice of their good shepherd. Now, when we do this, it's never to be done with a spirit of moral superiority over them. All of us have sin and wickedness. It may come out in different ways, but we should never approach a fellow believer with an attitude that I'm better than this person. And also never with an attitude of trying to crush them or put them down or make them feel miserable. The goal should always ultimately be their repentance. Now, sometimes I've heard Christians say, well, who am I to go talk to someone else because I did those same sins when I was in college? Or I used to fall into that sin too. Well, yeah, sure you did. All of us have. That doesn't mean that we now can no longer go talk to someone about their sin. If anything, that gives us more of a moral responsibility to do it. Because we know the evil that is there. We know how it can entrap us. We know how it can take us away from Christ. We know how it can be spiritually death for us to continue in that. If anybody should go talk to them, it should be us. Imagine a doctor who had measles in his childhood and now saying, well, I really don't know if I can go help children who have measles because I had it once too. He, if anyone, should be the one to go and help them. That's why Jesus, when he dealt with Peter in his sin of denial, took him and, once Peter repented, forgave him his sin and put him on a path of being the great apostle to the world to go and teach other fellow sinners. Now, God doesn't give us the charge or responsibility of going and looking in people's windows to try to catch them in their sin. It's not the burden on us to try to go find somebody's sin. But when we become aware of it, when we become aware of the fact that a fellow Christian is caught up in something that's pulling them from Christ, it is good and right and wonderful for us to talk to them. The first year that I was chaplain here on campus, I had about 4 students come to me one day, and they wanted me to set up a meeting, which we did, with another student who was a friend of theirs, a fellow Christian who'd been caught up in theft. And we sat together in a room with this individual, and I didn't have to say a whole lot. I was so amazingly impressed with how these fellow Christian students dealt with this individual in such a gentle way. They put the law of God on this person's conscience and heart, yet they did it in a way that was not superior to them. They spoke about their own wickedness and evil and their own need for forgiveness. And the goal ultimately was to bring them to the cross of Christ, to bring this individual to repent and to see what Jesus had done for them. Listen to our text once again. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. All of this is to be done with the ultimate goal of heaven, of making sure that people who've been brought to the knowledge of their Savior and had their sins forgiven in Him, that they ultimately don't lose that and they finally get to heaven. We see how gently Jesus dealt with the woman who was caught in adultery and how His ultimate goal was her repentance and bringing her to the mansions above. I want to close with one passage from St. John. He says, "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life." So sometimes the task of retrieving a fellow Christian from sin is very challenging and difficult. And yet on Judgment Day, just think of how thankful that individual will be. Amen. Please rise. Let's join together in the words of our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.